Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? Just want to wish you guys a happy Monday. We are have had maybe about a week or so break in between the episodes here. Hopefully you all had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday as I have done so far, and just returning back to normalcy a little bit. So I'm happy to get back into reading from the book of Romans, chapter 14. And so really looking forward to that today. So before we start this particular episode, as always, I want to always kind of give a little bit of introduction on maybe some things on world events that would be considered prayer worthy. I would say newsworthy, but I would say in this case prayer worthy of you know, as of Christians all around the world, and just keeping your eyes and ears open to the events and things that is happening in our world today, situations that are happening. So as of this recording, some of you may already have been aware. I'm sure some of you have already been aware of the attack on Israel, and of course that's been going on since October the 7th. Has been numerous attacks that has been happening since that time of in 2023. So Saturday has been an attack coming all upon Israel again, and this is from Iran. And so Iran, historically, they have not really been attacking Israel directly from Iran to Israel, but in this time, according to what has already been developed, I'm sure a lot of you, because this has been world news, the attack from Iran to Israel came. It was kind of rumored that it would happen. From what before this attack happened on Saturday, I want to say about a week or so ago, a little bit over a week ago, maybe I would say that the amount of time has closely been about 2 weeks or so, that Israel, they had launched some missiles and had hit, I want to say, an Iranian consulate that had some pretty high officials of their, you know, from their country had been hit, and some of them has been killed. And so I believe that this is a response, that what we seen on Saturday, this was a response to that unfortunate attack that happened. So, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because again, this is all a part, as far as Christian believers all around the world, we should be still consistently praying for that region of the world. Okay, and know that majority of Christians, we stand with Israel, and I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not a matter of whose side we're on, because everybody, whether you are Jewish or whether you are, like the Bible says, Jew or Gentile, we all need Christ, right? And we do know historically or biblically that God has established his covenant with the children of Israel, or, you know, for many years. You can read that in the Bible, from the time of Abraham going through the time of Moses, where Moses had basically rescued them out of Egypt, and you can just continue to read this historical biblical story from the books, from the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way throughout the Bible. God has consistently been in covenant with the children of Israel, spanning well over 2,000 plus years. Matter of fact, I would say go as far as back as 4,000 years ago now and plus. So like I said, you can read those stories in the Old Testament leading all the way up to the time of Jesus. And again, you know, this is just a matter of God establishing his covenant, his eternal covenant with them. And even though we can read, and you can read this yourself, where the children of Israel, they have, you know, they disobeyed God many times. They've grieved him. God had to punish them. God had to continue to, you know, but one thing to always remember, even though the children of Israel went through this back and forth with God, God has always been faithful. God has never left them. God has never turned his back on them. He's allowed them to go through some things. He's allowed them to be attacked. He's allowed them to be held in captivity by the Babylonians, as you read in the Old Testament. Again, the children of Israel was also captive in Egypt. And so you can see this constant thing that has been going on. And I say that because of the fact that we still have to pray for Israel, even as Gentiles, you know, those of us that are not considered Jews. Jesus has died for every single one of us. So in saying that, we need to be praying for those that are not saved, that are Jewish, that are not saved. We need to be praying for them as well. We need to be praying for each other, of course. We need to be praying for other, whether as relatives, friends, people you know, people you don't know, leaders of other countries, leaders in this country as well. And we need, this is a time in this season, I would say that lots of prayer from all of us, from whether you're, you know, the black church, the white church, the church of, matter of fact, there's another story that broke, that I just learned about too. And we need to be praying for a church that's also in Sydney, Australia, a bishop, Mar Mari, I believe his name is, he was attacked, while, behind the pulpit of his church. He was attacked by, I want to say, a Muslim. They're saying that it was someone that is a Muslim extremist that walked up to him right in the middle of the church service and stabbed him repeatedly. I believe at this point right now he's recovering. He didn't die or anything like that. So thank God for that. But this man has been faithfully, whether it on TikTok, Instagram, you know, some of these, most of people know him on TikTok, and that's because he streams his service on there. And I say that because we're living in the season of prayer, in the season of like I've always said, the last days. Okay, now I want to say this too before we get into this episode. Also, back to back to Israel and Iran. So at this moment, the Iranians, they had sent, I want to say over 200 or 300, close to 300 missiles, ballistic missiles. Now, the report was that they were sending drones. And they were sending drones, but I believe that was also sent first as a distraction. And then not too long after that, within a few hours after that, as the drones were coming, the ballistic missiles would come. And from what the reports have, you know, the reports in the news begin to really start to develop pretty rapidly as things was progressing over the weekend. And we started to learn that as they approached Israel airspace, of course, the IDF, which is the Israel Defense Military, they began to launch their defensives. So they had I believe fighter jets in the air, as well as the Iron Dome defensive missile defensive system, which is very, very good, from what I hear, is able to intercept all kind of missiles and everything else that goes into their airspace to prevent any missiles or any bombs from attacking on land or landing. And so that was really good. From what I hear, it was a success. So I believe there was very minimal damage, and it was maybe one or two people that had been injured, from what I heard, was shrapnel from these missiles and whatnot. But overall, they were saying the report came out after, I think, Sunday. Report was like 99%. Now, where do we stand today? So again, I told you in the beginning that Israel had struck in a very important, I guess it was an embassy or consulate of theirs over Iran. I don't think it was intentional, but it did hit. Mind you, since October 7th, they have been in a war with the terrorist group Hamas, as well as which now looks like other terrorist groups as well that are related to Iran. So Iran has been, from what I've been learning, Iran has been funding these terrorist groups like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like the Houthis, and who knows, whatever other groups. They've also been, I've been noticing that there's been attacks coming from the countries of Yemen as well. So Israel has been pretty busy, along with there has been a humanitarian crisis now as a result, especially in the Gaza Strip. So there's a lot of, they're saying starvation that's going on. Unfortunately, a lot of Palestinians have been killed. A lot of them have been in the crossfire of this ongoing war that's been happening. So there's a lot of loss of life, along with there's still, from what I've been hearing, Hamas still has they have hostages. So there are people that are Jewish hostages, as well as probably some that are either American or and from other countries as well, that has been caught in this whole thing as well. It's not a good place to be. Let's just be clear. Like I told you before, this is a time for prayer. Also, as I was trying to get to this part where currently, this being the beginning of the week, I'm learning now that Israel, along with the United States, United States have been being briefed. The president of the United States has been briefed by his war cabinet, and then also Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, also has been back and forth in his war cabinet with his committee or his committee, and they're being briefed on what the response may be. And yes, there seems to be, or what may be coming, a response to the attack that Iran has done over the weekend to Israel. So it's very interesting developments right now. I've been keeping my eyes and ears on the news myself. Hopefully you all are. And I said this, my reason, and just, you know, as you're listening to this podcast, this episode, I just want you all to understand the times that we're living in. Like I told you, I just explained about what took place over the weekend and what is going to be a potential reaction to this from Israel to Iran. And also, again, on a side note, other than the protests that were still happening, that are still happening here in the United States and other parts of the world, on the pro-Palestinian protests as well that is happening, there's a lot of violent activity that's happening. People are being attacked. And there are several things. If you watch the news, if you watch some social media accounts and stuff, there are a lot of things, violent things that are happening all over the world, pretty much in response to whether they are pro-Palestinians, feeling that Israel is doing what they call what they claim is genocide. Again, there's a lot of opposition to Israel's response to Hamas, in the beginning. See, so a lot of this also is going on with that, because you got several things. Mind you, Iran is doing a great job with kind of moving this whole situation going on. What I want to continue to say, though, is we need to be praying. We need to be interceding. We need to be interceding for the church in general, the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for the safety of people over there in the Middle East. OK, that region of the world is, when I say it's hot, it is super, super hot right now. There have been all the airlines that would have been going in that area they've stopped all flights. The United States and other countries in Europe are telling their citizens that are over there to evacuate, places like Iran, places like Iraq, places like Israel and countries in between that. They're asking them to evacuate and to get from over there, with the potential of there will be a wider scale war. So my personal opinion, of just watching this develop from Saturday through Sunday and now today, is the fact that Israel more than likely may respond to this attack. If they do, again, we're talking a country to another country. Before, it was just Israel attacking and retaliating against Hamas, which was a terrorist group, even though it was funded by Iran, but it was just a terrorist group and not to minimize Hamas, they are a pretty large terrorist group. They have been around and they have been residing in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip. So this is where a lot of this really began to take place back in October of last year. This is where it began to take place, from the attack that they took upon Israel. And so from that point, it just began to develop and begin to expand more and more and more. And there's been so much news from that time. I'm like I said, everything I'm telling you, you all have known about it for a while now. And you know, it's just been ongoing and ongoing. So now we're up to this point now, where now Iran is finally taking a stance and responding to Israel, because when you're throwing bombs back and forth or missiles and stuff, eventually something's going to get hit. And sure enough, this is what happened. So now we are at a very pivotal place in history, but in that region of the world right now. And another thing I want to say this before I forget is that United States is helping Israel. In other words, we are there to help militarily, defensively, not so much offensively. It's not clear or not even confirmed that we are jumping in to this fight in the Middle East, whether it was Israel and Hamas or Israel and the Hezbollah or whatever Israel's offensive moves have been. Only thing our role has been is we are providing military assistance in regards to weapons and things that they need, as well as the United States are also providing funding and money and also military, or I would say weapons, I should say, to places like Ukraine as well. So that war is still going on with Ukraine and Russia. So there are multiple things that are happening in the world today that, as believers, we have such a big responsibility at this point to be praying consistently for the safety and the peace of that region of the world. And I say that not to say that we should never pray for peace. We know that, and my last point that I want to make is, we know that things are not going to get better. We know that things are ramping up. And the reason why, to my last point before we get into this episode that I want to share, is the fact that we know, according to the Bible, that these world events, okay, that are happening, that we see on the news, social media, wherever you're getting your news from, it's all taking place according to what the Word of God has been saying. The Word has been telling us in Matthew, especially if you read Matthew 24, chapter 23 and 24, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked about the sign of his coming, and asked about the sign of not only Jesus's coming or return or what have you, or the Son of Man, I believe, and also the end of the world. Now, listen to this. As I'm saying this to you right now, one of the things that I'm made aware of as I'm speaking to you is the fact that the disciples, they heard Jesus talking about the coming of the Son of Man. But I don't think they really understood that Jesus, this was before Jesus was crucified. So for them to hear one thing, but to see it happening is another thing. And I think that the disciples, just like any of us, would have asked these same questions. We hear Jesus talking. You heard Jesus say these things about he will be handed over to the Roman government. He will be crucified, and then he would die, and he would be resurrected. Right? We just got through celebrating Resurrection Day or Easter. Okay, and so with that being said, I think that the reality is one thing that when you hear somebody speak something, but for it to happen and you see it happening, it's a whole nother thing. And I think that when the disciples ask these questions, then Jesus began to talk about it. You can read this, I want to say, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. Let's see here. Let me make sure. I want to tell you guys something wrong here. Well, I want to say Matthew 23, as I'm going to it right now. I'm going to say Matthew 24, to be correct, okay? And so here's one of the questions, and I want to end on this before we go into this episode. So Matthew chapter 24 verse 3, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Okay. And Jesus told them, he says, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yet," he says, "yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately." And then let's continue on in verse 7. "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And listen to this. It says, "There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." Okay. So Jesus is laying it out, and he's being very descriptive, and he's being very detailed. He's being very plain about what will take place. There is no reason whatsoever to be confused at this moment of time, even what we're living in right now, to see that we can compare this of what we're seeing right now to what Jesus has been speaking of in Matthew 24. So again, these disciples, they asked him a very serious question, which I feel like if any of us were living at the time, we would have been asking Jesus the same question. We would have asked him the same thing. So I don't fault the disciples at all for asking Jesus this question. I think this was very good that they asked this question. But I love what the first part he says. He says, "Don't let anyone mislead you." All right. So it's very important that in this time that we're living in, as we're watching the news, like I'm watching the news, and we're seeing the developments that are happening with Israel, with Iran, with other countries, Russia, and Ukraine, possibly China and Taiwan, North Korea also being, all these countries are lining up. This is almost like if you see the game of chess and you begin to see the different pawns on the chessboard begin to move. This is when we read in the book of Daniel, read in the book of Revelations, those two books of the Bible being future books that are prophetic and begin to show the nations of the world beginning to move and take place around the world, so that we begin to see there is some movement. There's some movement. And let's continue on, like I said, in verse 6 of Matthew 24, it is saying, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. This is what we're hearing right now in 2024. Okay. And it says, second half of that verse says, but don't panic. That means don't panic, don't have anxiety. It says, why? Because the other half of this verse says in verse 6, yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow. Again, these are all preludes. These are all things that must take place. When we hear of wars and threats of wars, or some versions of the Bible will say wars and rumors of wars, okay? So we will hear both. There will be actual wars that take place, which we do have right now, and possibly rumors of wars. That means more news, more threats of wars, like it says here in the New Living Translation, it's saying that. In verse 7, it says nation will go to war against nation, okay? Again, we can hear this. We can see this. There's different countries that are beginning to rise up and beginning to war against other nations. Now, we can also say not just here in 2024, but also in 2023 and years leading up to this point, there has been always been nation will rise against nation, nation going to war. That has always consistently been happening. But now we're seeing more of a uptick in these different type of events and these world events that are happening. And so let's continue on here. It says in verse 7, it says there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Stop right there. This is actually happening. So you've heard, just like I've heard on the news, there have been reports of earthquakes, and there are famines that are happening, not just over in Gaza that's happening right now as a result of these wars, but also in other parts of the world, other countries like in Africa, parts of Africa and parts of these other places. We see famine that is happening also as well. Earthquakes, yes, that's been happening. Even right here in the United States, we've had earthquakes, but then also in other countries. There was, matter of fact, there was a recent, as of maybe last month, I believe it was, there was a earthquake, and I want to say it was in Thailand. It was a major earthquake there, and so there has been earthquakes that's been happening all over the world, and matter of fact, I want to say just in this year alone, I want to say there has been more than at least about maybe 2 to maybe 3 earthquakes, I want to say, that's in just this year so far, and we're only in the month of April. So the last thing I will say this, or actually I'm gonna say this, in verse 8, it says, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Very important verse to remember. This is only the first, okay? And he describes it as these events, he describes them as birth pains. I'm sure all women understand that have children and has birth children, they have understood what that means. When the baby is about to come, when they're about to give birth, there is what you call contractions. And these contractions are very painful. They start off very subtle and very, very subtle, and maybe sometimes just every now and then very spread apart when it comes to the contractions. And then as the birth of the child gets closer and closer, then what happens? It begins, those birth pains begin more and more and more, and it becomes more frequent and more painful. Okay. And that's what he's describing or comparing what these events will be like. It will start off very, like, you know, like spread apart, and then begin to increase. And so this is what we're experiencing right now in 2024. But all this is only the first of birth pains with more to come. Then it says here, it says in verse 9, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because what? You are my followers. Now, and so this is another thing I want to mention. Because of the attacks on Christians, there was a post that I followed. There was someone that posted some over 2,000 Christians that were killed. I can't remember what country it was, but they were massively killed. There will be those that hate Christianity, those that are either Muslim, Islamic extremists, or other extremists, not just Islamic extremists, but other extremists that are not Christians that will be attacking Christians. Remember, there's communists, there's also people that are just all kind of different extremists that feel and believe that Christianity should be wiped out. And that is happening right now in 2024. That's happening all over the world. United States doesn't have that quite yet, but there are little bits of I would say different situations that will come up. Matter of fact, we've had shootings in churches already. We've had people back south in the United States that have gone into churches and they've shot up people in churches, shot up people in Catholic churches and everywhere. So this is happening, I would say, all over the world, but more so in other parts of the world more than it is right here in the United States. The other thing is, it says in verse 10, it says, and many will turn away and from me and betray and hate each other. This is happening even right here in the United States. There is a spirit of compromise in the church, in the country, not just in the church, but also in the country. But when it says, and many will turn away, that also means that many that were professing to be believers, many that were professing to be Christians, many that were following Christ, maybe in the church, they will begin to turn away. This is what, if you look around, you will see that a lot of people that used to go to church like quite frequently, they have stopped. And I'm not saying, there's a lot of things that I want to say more into that. More is meaning that they're just not falling away just because there's a compromise in the churches. So in other words, there are pastors that are compromising the word of God. There are pastors that are doing harmful things in the church, things that are hurting the people in the church. As well, there are pastors that's supposed to be leading their flock, but they're not. They're doing very shameful things, and I'm just going to put it that way. They're doing shameful things in their local churches. Some of it has been online. Some of it has been just people. Now that you have a cell phone, now that social media is like kind of like the news. There are so many posts that you can see now of pastors, I'm talking about leaders in the church, that are doing shameful things that they should not be doing. And this is why a lot of people are starting to fall away. And I say this real quickly when I say that. When you are a victim of church hurt, or you've been a part of a church that has maybe a pastor has deceived you, or maybe a leader, or maybe you experience a bad experience in church. Always remember this, we all are not perfect, and I'm not excusing anything that a pastor, a minister, leader in the church, whether they're male or female, does to you. But I am saying this, right now is not the time to get away from God. So if you have to leave a certain ministry, for either you see a compromise of ungodly compromise, secularism getting into the church, and you feel like, I can't be here because there's too much ungodliness going on in this church, then first of all, pray about it. Pray for those leaders. Pray for the people that are in this church. Don't cause any, don't go out of there causing any strife. Don't go out of there spreading rumors. Don't go out of there trying to stand up and call out the pastor or the preacher or what have you. Don't do something that don't cause any, other words, don't draw that so much attention to yourself, because one, they probably won't accept you. Number two, though, what you should be doing is you should be praying for them. Pray for that ministry. Pray for that pastor. If you have to, if you have to confront that pastor, do so in a biblical way. And what that means in a biblical way, and I can't find the scripture right now, but go to that pastor in private and talk with that pastor, talk with that leader, okay, and say, hey, you know, this is what I feel, that this is offensive or what have you. Pray about it before you go. Don't just go and operate in the flesh. Don't just go and operate in a way that is in your feelings. You need to go as a leading of God and know that it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then be respectful. Don't come at him or her accusatory. Be respectful. Be humble about it. Make sure the Lord is leading you. Okay. And if the Lord is leading you, the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this, then hopefully and prayerfully that person will be open to you. He will be open or she will be open to this. Okay. If not, and if they refuse, then respectfully separate yourself from it. If they refuse not to change, like the Bible says, you know, like the disciples did, if they don't welcome you, take the dust off your feet and leave. And don't leave drawing other people with you. Don't leave trying to start confusion in that church, because then you will also be held accountable for your part that you played in something that has went down in that church as well. And I'm just saying this because I've experienced this myself on a personal level, and it's very important that God doesn't judge you for what your part that you play. So it's very important to leave on a good note, leave with respect and honor and dignity for yourself, and just go away and you pray for that ministry, that pastor, that leader, or whatever the group that you was a part of. From that point, do get committed to God and ask the Lord to lead you and guide you into another church where you can be a part of and just get the word. Okay. So I say that because you see this in the verse, you see that many will turn away. And this is also stating too that many will turn away from God. It says here specifically, he says in verse 10, and many will turn away from who? From the church? No. From the pastor? No. From your local body church? No. It says many will turn from who? From me. That means from Jesus Christ, okay? And betray and hate each other. Now listen, this could also mean what I just explained to you. When you turn or when you leave that church, don't betray and hate one another. Don't do that. In other words, maybe they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they do know what they're doing. I'm not giving an excuse of anything you've been through. What I am saying is that pray and don't turn away from God. Don't walk away from God. No matter what people are saying to you, don't walk away from the Lord. Okay. And listen to this. And I'll end this on this. Verse 12 of Matthew 24. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Okay. Let this be clear. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And let me just say one more thing. I'm sorry. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Okay, so Jesus is not talking about it's going to get better. He's not talking about the world's going to say kumbaya and everybody going to come together and then Jesus will come back. No, he is giving you a very detailed step-by-step description of what will take place at the times that we are now living in right now. As I've always said that we're living in the last days, but we're almost living in the end times. I say that because if you look at it, say a clock or something that strikes 12, I mean, we could be 5 minutes to 12. We may even be as close as 3 minutes to 12, maybe 2 minutes to 12. What does that mean? That could mean that it could be 2 years, 3 years. It could be a year, could be a few months. But the bottom line is, we see what's happening in the world today. We got the Word of God. You got the scriptures to read. You got many people out here, including myself, that are trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so important that these last days or these end times that the gospel is preached. Verse 12 says, sin will be rampant everywhere. If you're a believer like I am, you see that sin, of all manners of types of sin, is happening even more so. Sin has always been a part, but you notice in verse 12, it says sin will be rampant everywhere. And then the second half of that says, and the love of many will grow cold. There's so much you can read out of, you can get out of that, but he's saying, in essence, that there will be more sin. There will be so much sin. And this is almost like in the days of Noah, before Noah destroyed the earth. In other words, the sin had been so much that it began to just reach to God himself. Okay, so important to understand this. As we approach these end days, as I said before, like Jesus said, we don't need to panic. We don't need to worry. We don't need to have anxiety. But what we do need to do is we need to be praying. We need to constantly be praying, always. And so as we see this time approaching, it's no need to be scared or worried or anything. Jesus has laid it out in front of us. And so with that being said, I want to keep telling you all to not only pray for the world around you, things that you see on the news, your neighbors, your friends, those that are not saved, which is really important, your relatives even, ask the Lord to show you ways on how to share the gospel with them. And if they don't accept it, just continue to pray. Don't force them. Don't try to shove Christianity or religion down their throat, because they're going to reject you. If they reject you anyway, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. So you got to remember that. And second of all is, you yourselves, in doing this, read your Bible, of course, but get closer to God. Constantly get direction from the Lord to ask him to show you what directions to take in your life. Get closer. This is a time to get close to God. If you're one, like I've read, that's fallen away from the Lord, get back to him. Don't keep your relationship away from the Lord, okay? Recommit your life to the Lord. Now's the time. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not when you feel like it, not when you feel like you're ready to do it. No, now's the time. God will accept you just as you are, just as guilty as you are, just as whatever sins you've committed, how many times you've done it, God will bring you in and accept you as you are. Just come to him right now. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for just being faithful to us, but being faithful no matter if we have been unfaithful. But Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We ask right now in the name of Jesus to just continue to help us get closer to you and give us a spirit of prayer so that we can pray for others. Help us, give us the boldness to share your gospel message with others all over the world, starting from our home base, from who knows us and we know them, and just begin to be the gospel, share the gospel, be the light in a dark world, in a chaotic world, in a sinful world, and pray for these countries. Pray for Israel. Pray that they make the right decisions, okay? Pray that we're praying that there will be peace in the Middle East. But Lord, we pray that your will be done. And we pray that God will continue to have his hand on that area of the world. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, I'm not sure if I'll be able to put this this here segment in this particular episode, but maybe we'll kind of limit it what I'll be speaking about in Romans 14. I'll give you a little bit of it, but this is the majority of this episode. Thank you for just taking this time to speak, or to listen. I'm sorry, to listen to this. I felt that this was a burden on my heart just after seeing all the events and what could be coming in the next few days, or if not in the hours, but in the days leading to what's happening over in the Middle East and things that are occurring. So I want to just really feel like it's very important to lead out with this. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this particular podcast. And I'll be talking to you soon. God bless. God bless you and your family. Hey, good morning, guys. So we're going to get right into today's Bible reading out of the book of Romans, chapter 14 today. And because of the segment that I had earlier, it's quite lengthy. We're not going to do too much. We're going to kind of continue this on to the next episode. But I want to start it off real quickly about the danger of criticism. This is out of Romans chapter 14, and we will probably just take up maybe two or three verses here. So let's get into it. It says, accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Okay. For instance, one person believes it is all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. And then verse 3, it says, those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. All right. So one of the verses that really stick out to me right now is the fact that it says here, it says right here in verse 1, it says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. We live in our Christian worldview. We have other believers, like it says here in this verse. We have people that are of the same faith. They might be a different denomination. They may have a different denomination, like I said, but they believe in the same thing. They believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They also believe that God is the Father, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They also believe in baptism of water. They believe in the church, the local church of the body of believers. There's a lot of things that they believe. They believe in heaven. There is a heaven and there is a hell, eternal heaven and hell. They also believe in salvation. So there's a lot of different, I would say, denominations in the Christian faith that believe in the same thing. But there are some differences among these denominations that will either challenge you or not, or maybe some of them do something different. They believe in certain things and do a different things different ways. This here, excuse me, Paul is saying is don't argue, don't have debates with people that he says who are weak in faith. Now that's different, but I would say too that have different type of faith than you. So and it says, don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. And here's the thing they said, and the reason why Paul says weak in faith is because he is also kind of like bringing in certain differences that believers have. Remember, he's not saying they're not believers. He's saying that there are certain things that they feel is right or wrong to do. So in other words, he gives an example in verse 2. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, okay? But another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. You see that? So in other words, and he's showing the differences because this person might be feel like it's their conscience tells them that you shouldn't eat meat for whatever reason. And this could go back to, they can show you scriptures in the Bible, maybe of Adam and Eve when they first was in the Garden of Eden, and maybe how God had created the garden. He did not have them killing or eating meat. Okay. And they can show you scriptures. And if you were to debate them or say that, you know, you say you believe in eating meat and they don't, they'll say, well, you know, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden and they didn't eat meat. Okay. They didn't kill animals. So all of that could be a valid argument. But again, when you go away from that argument, it's not something to, it could be something to debate over, but it's not something to separate over, because even at that point, they're conscious and they're sensitive to the fact that they feel like it's their right to only eat vegetables. You that eat meat should not condemn that person for not eating meat, or call him or ridicule that person and say they're stupid or they're weak in the faith or what have you. You should, that's something that you should not, even as a believer, should be debating over them about. If they believe in the salvation of that mankind's salvation is through Jesus Christ, and you guys are in agreement with that, then it should be no more discussion. It should be something that you can have differences over, but you should not divide over, basically, like they say. Okay. And then another one says, but another believer with sensitive conscience will eat only meat. Now it says here, verse 3, those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. Okay. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. That's the key word right here. God has accepted them. So who are we? Okay. Matter of fact, let's read in verse 4. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? The second half of this was a question Paul says. In the second half of this, it says, their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. So this is so important to understand this when, you know, Paul is addressing, it sounds like those that are either the church is being formed at this time, and you got other different groups that are split off. Some believe that you shouldn't do this, and some people believe they should do that. But at the same time, they all believe in the same God. They all believe in Jesus Christ as being their Savior and Lord. They all believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that through him is salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So those are the major things that they agree upon. It's just certain little things, like he gives examples. One may not say that it's holy or good or God, you know, it's good for them to eat meat. Other ones say, well, we shouldn't eat pork. You know what I'm saying? So there are so many things that, again, people may divide over, but not necessarily, I'm sorry, may disagree over, but not necessarily should have to divide over. And remember, at the end of that verse, it says what? It says God has accepted them. Okay, God has accepted them. And then he goes further on in verse 4. He says, who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall, and with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. So there's so much right there that Paul is talking about. He's talking about this and letting them know, don't do this. Don't do this in the church. Don't do this among your fellow believers. If one person feels convicted and have a conviction about, I don't want to watch this, I don't want to listen to this song or this type of music, I don't want to listen or watch these type of movies or television shows, then respect that. The same thing, if you are one that says you shouldn't be watching that, then I would say let the Lord deal with them and convict them, not you. A lot of times you will win your brother and sister over, not with the words you say, but the way you live. And a lot of times you could win them over by praying for them. If they never come, you should not allow that to bother you. In other words, just pray and pray for them and love them. Not just pray for them, but love them anyway. See, a lot of times as Christians and Christian believers, we become so sacrilegious. We become more religious and more legalistic, and we forget on how to reach people in love. So when a person disagrees with you, even though they may be a Christian or a fellow believer, there's no reason to separate yourself. Love them. Love them anyway. And I think that's what we're missing sometimes in the church world. Sometimes just because we disagree with someone, their stance or their legalism or even their freedom to do what they want to do, then we kind of like distance ourselves and we shun them. And then they know that. See, and that's not showing godly love as a brother or sister in the Lord. So we need to learn how to interact with one another better. And this is directly affecting the church of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're not perfect in the church of Jesus Christ. We have many issues. But at the same time, let's learn to see the bigger picture. Let's learn to look past these small little differences we have and learn to unite over the greater things. Remember this too. If we spend too much time arguing with each other, we're losing the focus on what God wants us to do. Remember Jesus, when he left, he said to go out into all the world and do what? Make disciples. Make disciples. That means go out and make disciples and also spread God's word. If we're arguing with one another about what it's important to eat, what not to eat, or what you're convicted over, and you're arguing about what day of the week or what movies you shouldn't watch or shows and music and stuff like that, you're going to miss the bigger picture. And will you or your brother and sister or whoever you're arguing with, God will not be pleased with either one of you that are debating small issues. Instead, we should be uniting over how to bring people into the kingdom of God. All right, let's take a quick break. Or actually, you know what? This is the end of this podcast, and we're going to pick it up on the next episode. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm sorry I went so long in the beginning right there, but I had a lot on my mind and I wanted to share it with you all. Again, as always, pray, pray, get closer to God, read your word, and just ask God for continued direction in your life. Amen. I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. God bless your family. And stay tuned for the next episode, continuation of Romans 14, in the next episode of Larry's Biblecast.